Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Malik yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الحمد لله على كل حال على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال
You can't touch this. American Muslim 360 is We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this.
Some of you young folks been saying to me, "Hey, Pops, what you mean, what a wonderful world? How about all them wars all over the place? You call them wonderful? And how about hunger and pollution? They ain't so wonderful either. But how about listening to old Pops for a minute? Seems to me it ain't the world that's so bad, but what we are doing to it, and all I'm saying is see what a wonderful world it would be if only we'd give it a chance. Love, baby, love. That's the secret. Yeah. If lots more of us loved each other, we'd solve lots more problems. And man, this world would be a ghetto. That's why old Pops keeps saying. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
And Ramadan Mubarak.
That is, may the peace of Allah, the peace that only can come from God, may that peace be on us. And also the best wishes during this sacred month of Ramadan. May we have those best wishes. May Allah bless us to observe our fast and to get the benefit of the fast as much as we can, inshallah, during this month of Ramadan. Dear believers, brothers and sisters, listeners, welcome to another Sunday morning edition of AM 360 Blog Talk Radio. My name is Mustafa Mujahid.
And my name is Kim Mujahid.
And I'm not even sure we're on air. I saw some callers in the queue. Now I see nothing. So I'm not sure. I'm not getting any response to the switchboard.
Right. We may be having, we're having some computer, actually some system challenges for the switchboard for American Muslim 360 for Blog Talk Radio.
So what we're going to do, folks, we're going to sign out and then sign right back in. If you happen to be listening on, if you're listening at all, we're going to sign out and then sign right back in, inshallah. I think we're still on. I think we're still on audio. I'm not sure. Let's see. Why don't you pull up AM360? Let's see. Testing, testing. Is the volume up? Testing, testing. Okay, it does sound like we're on. The audio is up, is up. Dear brothers and sisters, just bear with us. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm looking at the studio on screen and I don't see what I normally see. Let me see if we can get a hand on this situation, inshallah. In the meantime, we pray that everyone is doing well. This
final days of the fast.
Yes, final days. For some of us, this will be the final day.
Yeah.
And for some of us, I believe, possibly tomorrow may be the final day as well. But we pray that Allah is blessing us during these wonderful days of Ramadan. We pray that the fast has been easy on us, and we pray that it's been beneficial for us, that Allah has blessed us with what it is that we have needed to get from this fast. And that's what the fast is all about. It's about getting the blessings that are in the fast. Okay, it looks like we are out. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, brother, so it looks like we're back. Nazim, thank you, my brother. I see your text saying we hear you. Appreciate you. Okay, let us get our show started as we normally do, and that is by reciting the first surah of the Quran. And most of us, from what I can see here, at least we can only see who's listening. We can see the phone numbers, and most of these phone numbers are familiar. So you are very familiar. I think most of you, if not all of you, are Muslim, so you're familiar. I see a number that just popped up that I'm not familiar with. So we always like to explain what we're about to do for those who are not familiar. And we're going to recite the first chapter, the first surah of the Quran, which is known as the oft-repeated seven verses. The first seven verses of the Quran, Al-Fatiha, is the most oft-repeated verses. And then what we do, we just happen to do this on the show. This is not something that is traditional, as is reciting the first seven verses of Al-Fatiha. What we'd like to do is also recite the following five verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is what we have been traditionally doing for the past couple of months here. So let us get our show underway, brothers and sisters, dear believers, listeners, by reciting this. First, we ask for God's help. We ask for Allah's protection against the shaitan. And just very briefly, for those of you who are not familiar, you probably are, Satan, shaitan, same individual. We need protection from this being. And Allah has revealed this to us. I'm not that familiar with other, outside of religion, I don't know if the concept of Satan is one. I think this is revealed in religion. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of Satan, the idea of shaitan, is a scriptural, a religious idea. When Allah has revealed this to us, mm-hmm. I don't know if human beings could come up with that idea of the shaitan.
Right.
And I don't know if they have on their own. I don't believe so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Allah has to reveal this to us. And I think a lot of it has to do with the human being. We just don't think like that. We couldn't come up with a being that would be so diabolical as the shaitan is. Anyway, let me not get long-winded. We have a nice, we have a long show here. Ramadan does that to you. I don't think a lot. But let us begin by seeking Allah's help and protection from the shaitan. And we say that by saying, this is a loose translation of it, O Allah, we seek your refuge against the rejected one, the rejected enemy, the shaitan. And that is the human enemy. Not Allah does not have the enemies. Shaitan is our enemy. Allah is alone. He's outside of creation. So we ask Allah's assistance and protection against the shaitan. And we do that, and now we're going to go into the Arabic, which is from the Arabic we will ask Allah's help from the shaitan, and then we will also recite the first surah of Quran al-Fatiha, and then recite the first five verses of the next surah, which is al-Baqarah. And then Kim is going to give us a translation, an English translation. There are many translations, and as Allah blesses us to learn Arabic and learn the grammar of Quranic Arabic, then we will also be able to express our translations as well, inshallah. So let us begin, dear believers, brothers and sisters. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. I will make to the Alehim while a darling. Amen.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise is for God, the Lord and cherisher of all systems of knowledge, master of the day of judgment. You alone do we worship, and your aid do we seek. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestow your grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen.
Amen. And now for the first five verses of the following surah, chapter, Al-Baqarah, the cow before the heaven. And it begins. Alif Lam Mim. Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi huda al-muttaqin. Alladina yuhminuna bil-ghaybi wa yuqimuna salata wa mima razaqnahum yunfikun. Walladina yuhminuna بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
That is the book. No doubt is in it. Guidance for those who regard Allah, those who believe in the unapparent, are steadfast in prayer, and stand out of what we have provided them with. And those who believe in what was sent down to you, sent down from before you, and in the hereafter they firmly believe, it is on these whom is guidance from their Lord, and they are the successful ones.
Amen. Sadaq Allah al-Din. Surely Allah has spoken, and surely Allah has confirmed his truth. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, welcome to Sunday morning edition of AM 360 Blog Talk Radio. AM stands for American Muslim, and the name of the show is Clear Talk. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Those of you who are tuning in live, thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope today, inshallah, we will have a very good show, a wonderful show, a show that will be a benefit to us on this path of seeking God's pleasure and of seeking the best in life, inshallah. We have a full lineup, which is our regular lineup. We will have Cafe MJ, who will be reading from the most recent Muslim Journal. And also there was an article in, I think, last week's paper, too, that we wanted to share with folks. And then we will be having our health tip. Will be actually, that is a part of the article. The health tip is a part of the article that we want to share. And then we'll be hearing from, inshallah, we'll be hearing from Imam Abdulaziz with the word of the week, where we'll be looking at a word and doing our best to put this idea and this word under magnifying glass so we can get the best out of it in applying what Allah has for us to apply. And then we will have our last segment, Faith and Industry, and today we'll have a special treat. We're going to hear, inshallah, from Imam Adib Hassan from the New Jersey area, and he'll be sharing with us some very encouraging, very, very good information regarding our community and a recent requisition of land and property that we have acquired as a community, and that is we have the intentions of using this for the benefit of the community, in sync with the concept of building community life and model community life. So alhamdulillah, we're looking forward to hearing from him. Abdullah Rasul, I think he's going to forego his normal presentation, and instead he will be interviewing Imam Adib Hassan. So inshallah, we're looking forward to that. We had mentioned last week that we will be interviewing Brother Mikel Abdullah. We changed that to, Mikel was not available due to some travel, so we changed that to next week, inshallah. We'll be hearing from him next week. So what we want to do, brothers and sisters, is actually just go right into the Muslim Journal, Cafe MJ, and get our show started. The most recent copy, which is dated, no, before we do that, just want to make a few, share some information we have here, some notes. One is, there's a book by our dear sister, who is an Atlanta resident, Sister Laila Kadira Yamini, and the name of the book is Glow with Ramadan All Year Long, A Guide for Elevating Your Body, Mind, Soul, Health Before, During, and After the Fast. And this is an excellent book. Yes.
It's a wonderful guide. It actually talks about how to enjoy the health and spiritual benefits of Ramadan that we acquire during Ramadan, and how to put those health habits that we begin to develop during Ramadan into our daily routine so that we can enjoy the benefits of the many benefits of Ramadan throughout the year.
Yes, so we encourage folks to get a hold of that book. Again, the title of the book is Glow with Ramadan All Year Long. It's at Amazon.com, and you can also Google it. If you Google Glow with Ramadan All Year Long, and written by Laila Kadira Yamini, you get more information on it. We're going to post it on our website, cleartalkradio.com also, so you'll be able to go there and get some more information about it. Another bit of information we want to share is that we want to send du'as out and prayers to all of those in the community and loved ones of those in the community that are ill or under the weather, or in hospital, or under some medical challenges. And one of those whom we are all familiar with is Sister Shirley Muhammad. We understand that Sister Shirley had a heart attack a couple of days ago, so we're asking Allah
to restore
her health, to send his angels of health to her so that her health may be restored. And we're sending our dua out to the family, the close family members of Sister Shirley. Every morning there has been a Ramadan presentation, and there's one left for tomorrow morning. And we just wanted to encourage folks to tune in to the, actually there's been, I've been tuning in. We've been tuning in to more than one Ramadan presentation. There's been a presentation made by Imam Saleem, Mali Institute. I think the last presentation was on Thursday.
Right.
But there's still there's another presentation being made every morning.
Right.
And that's in the Muslim Journal.
Exactly.
And
that's at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
And of course, it is at a different time for the other time zone. But the details of the call are, it has been printed in the weekly Muslim Journal.
And just briefly, the phone number to call for that is 712-432-1212. 712-432-1212. And the meeting ID is 306-933-035. 306-933-035.
And for those that are calling in, please, as soon as you call into the conference, put your phone on mute.
Right, yeah. We had some difficulty this morning, and we believe it was for that reason. So
yes.
Just put your phone on mute.
Yes, and it'll allow you to listen to the presentation.
Yes. And and of course, the last bit of information we have here is Eid al-Fitr.
Yes.
We're praying that we all, Allah bless us with a wonderful Eid. Those of us that will be beginning the first day of Eid tomorrow, or those beginning the first day of Eid on Tuesday, may Allah bless us with a wonderful Eid. Inshallah, our Eid will be full of blessings, as is. We pray that our Ramadan also has been full of blessings.
Absolutely.
Let us go now, brothers and sisters, to the and our number here is 646-716-4478. If you would like to make any comments or questions, anything related to any of the show's content, you know, feel free to do that. Always look forward to hearing from us. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us so much, and I thank Allah. We thank Allah so often for that. And so much is in this broadcast that we have, this AM 360 Blog Talk Radio, this platform that we have where we can share what Allah has blessed us with and learn from one another and continue on this path of increasing our ilm, our knowledge, so that it will aid us in increasing our faith also,
absolutely,
in our application of the religion. The date of the Muslim Journal that we're reading from is July 25th, 2014. And the front page title is Another Trail of Tears. Gaza ablaze, not even children can be saved. Lest we forget why Palestinians still fight.
Yes.
And
for those of us that remember our history, the American, term Trail of Tears came from the removal of several Native American tribes from the Deep South that were trekked across the South to reservations in Oklahoma. And so many of the people died, and it was just a horrific experience in the history of America, the removal of those people from their land that they had been living on for centuries to allow white settlers to live in those areas without having to live around the Native American peoples that had been there for thousands of years. I found it interesting and heartbreaking to contemplate this. Again, for human beings.
Yes, this is something very difficult to conceive of for the average human being. And that may have a lot to do with the lack of consciousness that people seem to have about this. And we're talking about it's not an isolated situation. And as Muslim Journal has titled it, Another Trail of Tears. So this is not the first trail of tears. And it's hard to conceive that human beings will inflict this kind of diabolical, it's not even a word. I can't think of a word to describe this. I mean, if you were to actually see, I'm sure there are many. There's one particular video, news report that I saw, and I'm going to post it. I don't have the information with me right now, but I'm also going to post that We're going to post that on our website, clear talk radio.com, which does a very good job in about maybe 90 minutes of giving us a good idea of how this whole thing got started, and where it's at now, who the players are, and, you know, some intentions on how we can, what we can do, what people of the world can do to address this. So the front page news article, again, on Muslim Journal says, another trail of tears, Gaza ablaze, not even children can be saved. Lest we forget why Palestinians still fight. And, you know, the phrase that a picture speaks a thousand words or more is clearly true here with this front page. Because what we have here on the front page of Muslim Journal is actually four graphics. One is dated 1946, and it's the caption on it is Palestinian and Jewish land, 1946. And it shows us, it shows you the land mass of Palestinian land, in contrast to the land mass that was known as Jewish land in 1946. And, I mean, overwhelmingly, goodness, this has to be about 95% Palestinian land.
Yes. And this is in accordance to the treaty that was signed by those nations in the development and the inception of the land that we now know as Israel.
And, you know, there's so much that can be said. Sure, of course, the brief comments that we're giving here is not intended to do anything more than give us information that will allow us to have some clarity. Because there are many that do not have clarity. And here in this country, we know our information, for the most part, about political events that take place off of the shores of, well, actually, events even that take place here are cemented and given to us through the media. And so we don't have the clear picture, the true picture all of the time.
I think that we have to extend that. I think that across the world, countries where we have media that basically informs and provides the people with the information that they have about world events. When you're dependent upon the media, and we all are, we oftentimes don't have a true picture of what really is going on. So individuals, of course, you know, you form your opinions and what have you, but without having a true picture of what's going on, really seeing what's going on, basically having what you're believing or what you're understanding shaped by groups that may have an agenda to allow you to see things from a perspective that has been shaped by what's going to be beneficial to one group or another group. You see that, you know, all over the world. We were watching yesterday documentary individuals Israel, talking about the situation that is occurring right now. And it was just apparent from the responses that the people really don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. The common person doesn't really know what's going on. So, yeah, we experience that here in America, but I believe that's a global situation.
I think you're right about that. Yeah, that was interesting. We were listening to, they were on the streets of Israel in this video. The one that we're going to post, inshallah. And they were interviewing common citizens and on the streets. And it was interesting to see the level of ignorance that existed. And they're right there. They're right there. But it's not really surprising because the same thing happens over here when often we see common people being asked about events that take place right here. And they are not. They're not really even knowing of that. So the responsibility is on those who do know, those who are aware, you know, to do what we can, the best that we can, creatively, directly, indirectly, to share with people the truth. And that's, you know, the responsibility that we have as believers. And inshallah, that's what we hope we're doing here. The second graph on the front page of the Muslim Journal The caption above it is UN Partition Plan 1947. And now there's a difference, there's a shift in portioned land masses, the Jewish land versus the Palestinian land. And here you can see now the shift is about almost like 50%. And this is just a year later. Wow. Now 50% of the land mass, Palestine, is Palestinian land, 50% is Jewish land. The next graphic shows us 1949 to 1967. And now the dominant portion of the land is Israel. What was Palestine in 1946, where the word Palestine was, now has been replaced with the word Israel. And now the dominant landmass is Israel. And then the next one, which is as of 2000, that's 15 years ago, so obviously that has changed. It shows, goodness, now it's almost absolutely reversed from the initial graphic of 1946, and it looks like now about 85% of the land is Israel, titled Israel. And so clearly we're seeing what is going on. I mean, whatever we may want to, whatever opinions there may be, the facts are clear. The fact is clear that Palestinians are losing their land and have been slowly losing it since 1946. And I know this has been termed, a lot of what happens over there is termed conflict, which again I think is deceptive. It's not, you know, it's someone takes over your, comes to take over your land, and you get, you're embroiled in a fight, and you call it a conflict, you know, that's not really being clear. I mean, it's conflict, yes, but you're trying to defend your land and what is yours. And so, you know, it's that's I think, a term that is used just to keep us blind. And I know this is really a touchy topic, sensitive topic. I know this is not something, I know there's fear involved for many of us. You know, certain things we know that the Jews have a very powerful, not the Jews, it was all Jews. This does not represent all Jews. It doesn't represent Jewish, what we call the Jewish religion. It does not represent that. This represents Zionism, and we know that they have a strong influence over here in America. So that explains why we don't probably hear more of what we should hear. But I really want to, as they say, take my hat off to applaud the courage of the Muslim Journal in putting this front and center so that this can be really clear for those who didn't know. We can see what's actually going on. And we pray. We make dua. And I don't believe that, and I'm sure as believers, we don't believe that that prayer is not significant. Muslims all over the world are making dua and praying. You know, I believe that Allah hears their prayers, and I believe that those prayers are of benefit to this cause. So at least the least that we can do, inshallah, is pray for these human beings that are, you know, going through something that really can't really be put into words.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said, Kim, we were watching that video, and it would literally bring you to tears. I mean, my goodness, if that doesn't touch us, I don't know what could. You know, I mean, it's really sad to see this. But despite all of this, we know that Allah has a plan,
yeah.
And Allah's plan is bigger than the plan of the ungodly.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be able to see the end of this to know that. That's our faith tells us that. So we know that Allah's always in charge. And no matter how bad things may look, Allah's not unjust.
Yeah.
And we so much appreciate this wisdom because this comes to us to address things that our intellect and our logic cannot address, and this is one of them. So we pray for our dear fellow Muslims, and not just because they're Muslims.
We're praying for our fellow human beings,
right.
And we hope that others are thinking of the people in that region as fellow human beings as well.
Right. And we pray. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to take a quick break. If I can pull up a promo, this studio has been responding really slow this morning up to now. I'm not sure what's going on. Clicking and nothing's happening. And I'm entering.
It might be just working really slowly.
You know, something is coming up. Okay, here we go.
Stop the music.
At this point, I want to say this, and I'm going to say it at this point. I had it for later, but I'm going to say it right now. What we need in America as Muslims, we need what I asked our African-American brothers to give us, an intelligentsia. And I'm telling you, we can do wonders here in this country.
The hottest seat in the House on August 15 through 17, 2014 is in St. Louis, Missouri, the Show Me State, the National Town Hall for Mutual Consultation towards an intelligentsia open to all the believers. Males, females, imams, non-imams, youth, and seniors alike. Register now at eventbrite.com. Salatul Jummah, plenary sessions where you're the guest speaker. Authors in association with the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad's book signing. Panel discussions, brainstorming sessions, joint cooperation, collaboration, and an atmosphere of Shura Bainahum, a national town hall for mutual consultation towards an intelligentsia. A vision no longer deferred. Register now at eventbrite.com. For more information, call 910-317-0297 or email cwsconline@gmail.com or see us on Facebook at facebook.com/cwsconline. Hosted by the Community-Wide Shura Conference. See you there. Assalamu alaikum. There's a place where words make people. A place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join Famico Publishers in supporting AM360, where we're helping to build the model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Dear believers, listeners, brothers and sisters, we're still in our Cafe MJ segment, Cafe Muslim Journal. We're reading from the Muslim Journal. And we're now going to read from an article on page 3 in the most recent edition of the Muslim Journal, dated July 25th. And this article is titled, White House Dinner Celebrates Ramadan, Religious Freedom. And the article is written by Shahid Abdul Karim, with the photography from Shahid, with his photography. He also took the pictures as well. Here we go. Washington, D.C. Muslims share in the blessings of religious liberty and in recognizing the Islamic faith as a staple in the fabric of American life. President Barack Obama invites Muslim Americans to the White House to attend annual iftar dinner celebrating Ramadan. More than 100 guests attended iftar Monday, July 14, 2014, including selected officials, ambassadors and officials from the Republic of Iraq, the African Union Mission, Israel, along with members of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad and others. Excuse me. Connecticut's first Muslim mayor, Saud Anwar of South Windsor, also attended. Iftar literally means breaking of the fast, and it's the meal Muslims enjoy after sunset every day during the month of Ramadan. The annual dinner has become a White House tradition since the 1990s under then-President Clinton and continued by President George Bush, according to the White House website. The dinner, the sixth for President Obama, was held in the state dining room. In his remarks, the president said Ramadan is a time to reflect and to remember discipline and devotion as the essence of life. Ramadan is a time to reflect and to remember discipline and devotion as the essence of life or faith. And for all of us, whatever our faith, Ramadan is a reminder of just how much we share, the values of peace and charity, the importance of family and community. These are several universal values, Mr. Obama said. The command to love one another, to uphold justice, and to care for the least among us. These are common threads in our faith traditions, he said. U.S. Representative Andre Carson from Indiana is one of two Muslim congressmen, both of whom are affiliated with the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, attended the iftar. Congressman Carson said, the president respects Muslims.
I applaud the president's recognition of Muslim Americans and join him in calling for understanding and respect among people of all faiths, said Carson, 39, who was elected to Congress first in 2008. For me, like most Muslims, Ramadan has always been a special time to reflect upon God's many blessings, he said. It is a month for renewing our relationship with God and working to improve the lives of those around us. Fitra Muhammad of the Nation's Mosque in Washington, D.C., said African-American Muslims help to open the doors for other Muslims to make it acceptable to practice the faith in America. As an African-American being invited to the White House for the iftar would have been much more meaningful if those before me were acknowledged for their sacrifice and contributions in establishing Islam as a major American experience, Muhammad said. She, too, is a member of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. History is important, and our contributions should not be marginalized or obscured, she said. We made it possible for all to call themselves Muslims in America. Amid the increased turmoil in the Middle East, President Obama made comments about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In too many corners of the world, we see violence and terror, he said. The pictures we are seeing in Gaza and Israel are heart-wrenching. People here in the United States care deeply about what is happening there. And I know there are strong views as well as differences about how we should move forward, which is part of American democracy. We welcome that debate. That makes us stronger, he said. Some attendees at Monday night's event were angry about a magazine's report that the National Security Agency and the FBI scanned the emails of five prominent Muslim Americans under a secret surveillance program aimed at foreign terrorists and other national security threats. The Obama administration has not confirmed the report in The Intercept, but the president said that no one should ever be targeted or disparaged because of their faith.
Other Connecticut Muslims acknowledged Obama's iftar as an opportunity for better communication of the Islamic faith in the state. Editor of the Chicago-based Muslim Journal Nationally Weekly newspaper, Aisha K. Mustafa, noted the importance of Obama's gesture in upholding the tradition of having an annual iftar dinner for Muslims. It is important to note that the United States is multicultural and multi-religious. President Obama and other presidents have acknowledged this American tenet with an iftar dinner annually during the holy month of Ramadan, said Aisha Mustafa. Muslim Journal is the longest-running weekly Muslim newspaper in America, nearly in its 40th year of publication, alhamdulillah. It is in affiliation with the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. As one of the religions of the Abrahamic faith, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, the American public is reminded with these iftar dinners of how mainstream Muslims are in the United States, said Aisha K. Mustafa. Al-Hadaya Islamic Center of Newton, co-founder and director, Iman Bishtawi said the recognition of the iftar offers for the Muslim community, the recognition the iftar offers for the Muslim community is valuable.
Being invited to the White House for the iftar not only means recognition of Muslims by the president, but also opens channels of communication, said Bashtawi. Mustafa and Bashtawi did not attend the event. It provides the president at the grassroots level, through the leadership of Muslim communities, what the concerns are and what the feedback is from United States Muslims on any relevant issue of interest to the president, Bashtawi said. And this is Shahid Abdul Karim, a community engagement editor of the New Haven Registrar. You can call him at 203-789-5614.
And that is that article. And it's always good to see the recognition that we get, that Islam gets, and that Muslim gets, coming from the president of the United States of America. Dear believers, brothers and sisters, we are now going to go into our health tip segment. And today,
actually, Mustafa and I are going to do this together with regard to with regard to so hopefully you all will join in with us as well. We think of the fast of Ramadan from a spiritual aspect, as we are doing this for as Allah has commanded of us, but we also would like to reflect on the benefit of the fast. Allah says in Quran that the fast is better for us if we but knew. And there are so many tangible benefits of the fast. We'd like to talk about those this morning. And those are, I have hopefully with dots, that we are feeling good now. Our bodies have acclimated themselves to the fast. And we're now at the point of recognizing our bodies are now embracing the benefits of the fast. Our digestive systems are cleansed and rested. We have the toxins that have built up in our bodies from, for lack of a better way of saying it, from our overeating and our excesses throughout the year. Our bodies have been able to be cleansed of those toxins. Our blood, believe it or not, has been purified with all of the water and the vegetables and the dates and the things that we've been taking into our body, all the healthy foods that we've been taking into our bodies, our blood has been purified. And if you think of it, we have an improved diet now. This was a strategic fast.
Yes, indeed.
Mustafa and I were talking about the other day, times when the fast was in the winter months, the colder months, where the days were shorter, you could have a little bit more leeway with what you ate, and because you're going to be replenishing your body much sooner. But this fast was 15 hours, for some of us 16 hours.
Yes.
You had to eat strategically for this fast. You had your suhoor was to get you from suhoor to iftar this year. And so we were eating strategically. We knew we couldn't fill up on, you know, fried foods and lots of sugar and whatever, or you literally, your body was not going to be able to make it. And a lot of us became ill, and it was very difficult for us. This fast was physically mm-hmm. very difficult. However, as we've been emerging from the fast, look at the health, look at the how much better our diets are mm-hmm. for most of us.
Yes,
we're
indeed.
Eating more fruits, we're eating more vegetables, we're eating more salads, we're drinking more water.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that are nourishing and really strengthening for our bodies. And these are things that we are looking forward to carrying forward into our year.
Yes.
And
this addresses so much. Even our salat, you know, is improved
yes.
when we're feeling better.
Yes.
I mean, when we're feeling better, when we're going through our positions, Jalsa, Rukul, Sajda, and we're feeling the body is moving along without, you know,
mm-hmm.
Some issues that it might have, or if our stomach is full,
yeah,
or if we've been eating things that we shouldn't eat,
yeah,
you know, we even get more from our salat. So
exactly.
This is something, and I know what you're heading, what you're leading to, what you're getting to. What we're getting to is that this is something that we want to keep up.
That's right.
This is not something that, you know, we just want to let go.
Yeah.
You know, and this Ramadan, I've eaten so little sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, I like a little sweet every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But this Ramadan, like for iftar, I hardly have, I don't remember too many times, maybe two or three times out of the whole month even, you know, I just haven't had a call for it. My body hasn't had a call for it.
Mm-hmm.
And inshallah, I'm trying to keep that up.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, that added sugar and flour is beneficial in the first place.
No, it is not. And I know for myself, I mean, this is an opinion that I have. I believe that especially for those of us in this country where we have access to not only the best of diets, but we have access to the worst of diets as well, that our minds are befogged oftentimes because of the toxic diets that we eat. We are less careful of what we put into our mouths and our diets on a daily basis than what we put into the gasoline we put into our cars. We're much more selective about what we put into our cars. You know, what gas, which company that we mix this gas, or we don't like
what
this
grade
gas. What grade of gas? Or, you know, this gas makes my car run better, that kind of thing. But we are not nearly that discerning when it comes to what we're eating from morning to night. Well, this fast has actually steered us. It's refocused us and steered us back onto what is a more natural way, a more healthful way, and a more healthful way for us to be eating.
Yes,
so that has been one of the beautiful blessings of the fast. And also, our intellect and our spirit has been nourished. With all of those of us that have participated in the iftars at our masjids and our Islamic centers, and those of us that have participated in iftars in the homes of the believers and things, this has allowed us, you know, to reconnect. We're not just thinking of, oh, we're just, you know, eating dinner. We're now sharing food with each other. We're bringing food, you know, to iftar, to share. That forms a deep spiritual connection to others.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, because I mean, when you're sharing food with people,
yes,
you make something, you're cooking something, and you're looking forward to others enjoying that. There's a spiritual bond that you're creating with the individuals, and people are eating the food and enjoying it, and we have, you know, talk of the fast,
mm-hmm,
talk of Allah, and
mm-hmm,
talk of, you know, our
mm-hmm
Prophet, peace be upon him. You know, as we're partaking all of this, all of these things serve to nourish our soul,
mm-hmm,
giving us a sense of peace,
mm-hmm,
giving us a sense of joy.
Yes.
And I think that many of us who have who interface with people from other faith disciplines, other faiths.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very question. They question us about, you know, how can you look forward to Ramadan? These are the things that make Ramadan a beautiful time for us.
Yes,
that's
one of the favorites.
Yes,
I'm not sorry to cut you off. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite aspects of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the iftar.
Yes.
We come together and we share food and we fellowship, so
yes
to speak, and we talk with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Allah has made it like that.
Yes.
He's not made it just, you know, just not just to come and eat, find a little corner,
yeah,
where we eat our meal, break our iftar, and then, you know, and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but there's a surah in Quran, which we're familiar with, the 23rd surah, Mu'minun. And the first verse, Allah says, Aflaha Mu'minun. And that says the believers will be, will have continuous life. It's also translated as we'll be successful,
mm-hmm,
and we'll be prosperous.
Yeah.
But it also means that we'll have continuous life.
Yeah.
And that means that we keep going,
mm-hmm,
with what we, as Imam Muhammad said, to follow the logic to its conclusion.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're here eating dinner. Now, what is the logic,
mm-hmm,
of that? The logic of that is that if Allah wants us to come together to eat dinner,
mm-hmm,
he wants us together.
Yes.
And we're eating dinner. So he wants us not only to just find a little corner, like we said earlier, but to be together and to share information. That's the aflab. That's the life. That's the success. The success is to keep going in the trajectory, but not just to stop. If we just come and we stop and we eat, you get your plate, I get my plate, you find a corner, I find a corner, and then we go. We have stopped. We haven't really benefited from the concept of aflab. Aflab is to keep going. Is to have that continuous spirit. Next thing is, okay, we talk a little bit, especially feeling we don't know. Yeah. You know, you don't know me, I don't know you. You know, let's form a bond. Yeah. Let's get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Ummah. That is Ummah.
Yeah.
That's really Ummah. Mm-hmm. Just being together physically is not the Ummah.
No.
The Ummah is when we are together as human beings, mm-hmm. connecting with one another, exactly. even on a personal level, getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to know what it is that I do for a living. What do you do for a living? You know, how many children do you have? How many children do I have? Our children get to know one another. They get to marry. This is what, together, this is what the Prophet,
yes.
peace be upon him, this is what happened. This is how he lived. This
Absolutely.
Is how he lived. He bonded with people that he
mm-hmm.
knew. They married into each other's families. Their
yes.
children married.
Mm-hmm.
And they married
mm-hmm.
Into each other's families. So it's that continuous life, that
yes.
continuing on with the idea of
that's so important.
And that's what we're talking about now with
exactly.
Ramadan too. Continuing on with all the beautiful aspects that
yes.
we have in the Ramadan, the coming together for the prayers, the eating together, to forming relationships.
Mm-hmm.
This is so very important, us forming relationships, getting to know one another,
mm-hmm.
Getting to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Not now, but at a later time, I want to play an excerpt from Imam Muhammad. He was talking about, may Allah bless him with the high place in the paradise. He was talking about the idea of fitra, the original pattern, the original creation for the human being. And he said, a part of that is to be a loving person. These are his words. A part of that, fitra, that Allah has given us, that has established us, a part of that is being a loving person. And that loving person means with people. Connecting with human beings, with human hearts and human minds, connecting with human hearts and human minds, not just brief encounters that can be so lacking as opposed to the richness that we would get from really getting to know one another. And we pray that that's something that we'll be getting from the Ramadan and that we'll be continuing on.
Yeah. If I can just say this as well as we're closing, let's not stop the things that we've come to do during Ramadan, those habits that we've come to during Ramadan. Let's not stop eating together.
Yes.
Let's not stop reaching out to new believers or people that we don't know. It could be that someone that you've been seeing for 20 years and you don't know that brother or sister's name, go up and let's start asking
yes.
who these people
yes.
are and introducing ourselves.
Yes.
These
yes.
are things that we do, you know,
yes.
during Ramadan, during
yes.
iftar. The foods and things that we're eating and the foods and things that we're shunning, let's not stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue to try to eat the best diet that we can. Ramadan is a reset button for us. It's basically helping us to look out to the next year with a better eye, a better situation, better health, better spirit, a rededication to the understanding and the application of our faith. Let's not let, you know, the Eid be the end of it.
That's right. And speaking of the end of it, we're almost at the end of this segment, but we see two callers here. Looks like Imam Nazim and Bilal. So let us get you two in. Bilal, we're going to go first with you.
Alhamdulillah. This is something I did for the Shura Banu, right? I'm going to try to go make it brief, okay? We are delighted to be here. Some of us might shed a tear. Most likely we will share a meal. Success is what we do together. Our goal is to make things better. There isn't anything in our way, so enjoy the stay and make it your way. The stories must be told to lighten our load. Keep your minds on the goal. When community life is being attacked, trusting and respecting those who have your back. We will hand-pick to pick up the slack. We will be one mind on time so our community life can get out of the soup line. We have seen the signs, and we are doing fine. When it's all said and done, united as one, relax and feel the rays from the sun, and please have some fun. Our new life has just begun. Listen to the instructions and stand up. We are humble, wise, and tough. So we have problems that nothing new reflect on your past. You know what we have to do. Maybe we do care. What about getting our share? Please don't sit and stare. We know that this is fair. We are sorry for spending life. We are sorry for being late. We all make mistakes. Sit down. You can have my place. Don't worry. It's safe. This isn't a coup or a real battlefield. Our hearts are ready to adhere to what we was already revealed. Prophethood is sealed. Will you please let us enjoy our meal? Come in here as much in store, like a hungry kid in a candy store. Where did we left fall? What is a coin toss? Are you still the boss? No good deeds will be lost. And it's going to be sweet. One day maybe we will all be free. I'm going to cut it at that one. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Thank you, Bilal. Alhamdulillah, brother. I really appreciate your poetry.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. You should put them together, inshallah.
Well, inshallah, I'm working on something better, Mark.
Inshallah. Thank you, Akhir. Alhamdulillah. And now let's bring in our dear brother, our other dear brother, from Raleigh, North Carolina, Imam Nazim Pasha. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah. I'm also going to be brief. I just wanted to interject this because we were talking about, well, two really, and they will be brief. Ramadan, you know, it's desired, you know, we say self-restraint, but, and that's true. I'm not refuting that. I'm saying that the human sensibility and sensitivity, and I kind of wanted to speak a little bit on the alternative to what's going on in Israel and Gaza. We see Israel being guilty of inflicting the same thing that was inflicted upon them by the Germans. And I say that they said never again, but never again to let that happen again, that we would be guilty of doing something to somebody else that was done to us. And we as African-Americans, we have to be careful of being aware that we don't fall victim to that same thing, because if we look at the pain and suffering that Allah allows, look what it produced. Maya Angelou, Coltrane, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Nelson Mandela. So Allah shows us, Prophet Muhammad and Taif, how he handled that situation is what, in today's terms, we would consider miraculous. We would consider it extraordinary. But I think Allah left those signs and then leaving signs with the Jews and us as African Americans to show when you suffer inhumanity, it should bring out your humanity. And when you can do that, the situation is better. I cite some organizations, SAD and MAD. Sister Clara Muhammad starting homeschool because she didn't want the religious discrimination against the children. So I'm just saying that I think if we could stay there a few minutes and try to look at the more positive side and why Allah allows pain, then we can deal with the pain that we're dealing with. And it's a perfect segue for the last part that I wanted to bring. There's an article in July 11, 2014, Muslim Journal, about Rosa Najee Sharif. She's a pioneer in New Medina. She just got surgery from her stage 4 colon cancer, and she's now in recovery stage, but she's needing some financial aid. So here's her name and number, and I can get it to you and text it to you, whatever, if you wanted to announce it again. It's Rosa Sharif, 15 Caduceus Road, Sumrall, Mississippi, 39482. And I myself have donated, and I encourage brothers to donate and sisters to donate for this cause. I think after having read her story, she is a pioneer in every sense of the word, and she's dealing with this pain and suffering, true believer, because she got stage 4 cancer, but I think a couple of years before that, she lost her daughter in 2000, in the year 2000, was shot and killed. So she's been a trooper and a soldier, and I think that, you know, she's worthy of our support, and I'll stop there also, too. And thank you for allowing me to make those brief comments.
Thank you, Nazim. But before you go, can you give that information again, her name and the address?
Yes, it's Rosa, R-O-S-A, Sharif, S-H-A-R-E-E-F, 15 Caduceus, Q-U-D-D-U-S, Road, Sumrall, S-U-M-R-A-L-L, Mississippi, and the zip is 39. 3942.
39482. Thank you,
yes,
my brother. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you for your comments, all of them. Excellent. Excellent to show that in the difficulty is the ease, and in this terrible thing that's going on, there is also, you know, there's ease in it. So that's beautiful. Thank you, my brother.
Alhamdulillah.
Look forward to your show tomorrow evening at. Well, are you going to have a show? Because tomorrow may be the Eid, so.
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, all right. Well, ordinarily, Nazim has a show every Monday at the 9 p.m. on AM 360 Block Talk Radio. So it will be well worth our while to tune in. And thank you again, Nazim.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Dear brothers and sisters, we're now going to take a quick break, and then inshallah, we'll be back.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
At Masjid Bilal Islamic Center, we're building for the future. Our community has been an intricate part of Los Angeles history for more than half a century. Since purchasing our current property in 1973, we've helped shape the dynamics for Islamic growth in the city. Unfortunately, our masjid was destroyed by a series of earthquakes in the 1980s. However, by Allah's grace, in 1999, we launched a three-phase plan to rebuild our masjid and new school. 7 years later, we completed and officially opened the Bilal Learning Center. Now, we're looking to begin phase two, which is to rebuild our masjid, and we need your help. We're asking for donations to this noble effort. Please visit our website, www.masjidbilalonline.com, and make your tax-deductible donation to our rebuilding fund. Thank you.
Okay, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, believers, we are now going to go into our next segment, which is Word of the Week with Imam Abdulaziz. Imam Abdulaziz is one of the he's one of the most traveling imams I know, for one. Also, he goes around spreading the word of Allah and the life of the Prophet, the light and guidance that Allah blessed us with, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And this beautiful thing, may Allah continue to bless him in his work. He's one of the imams at the Masjid Yusuf Shah in Mount Vernon, New York. And we're very honored and very blessed to have him come on and share with us every week, Word of the Week segment, where we look into the Quran and see a concept or an idea, word, concept that is inspired by the Quran. And we look at that a little closer to get more information, more guidance, more hikmah from it, so that we can apply it to our life and live a life more pleasing to Allah and more pleasing to us as believers. So we'd like to, without any further ado, bring Imam Aziz in with the greetings. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are we doing today?
Alhamdulillah.
Ramadan.
Yes, Ramadan Mubarak. Praise be to Allah. We are traveling again on our way to Bridgeport, Connecticut, for the we're having Ramadan conference in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and they're one of the invited speakers. So I just in the middle of traveling at this time. However, the word of the week comes as a result of the terminology that we spoke about in Hartford on Friday, Rahma. Rahma. When we think about this term, Rahma, we know we began the month with the first 10 days dedicated to Allah's mercy. Mercy on us. Relationship to mercy on us. We know that we begin the Quran with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and all good deeds are preceded that are preceded with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. These actions are considered certifiable actions, actions that are acceptable. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu amri la yabda'u Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, fa huwa adam." Every act that does not begin with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim will be cut off. So we look at this idea being presented, and we know that Bismillah can be pronounced before going on a brief walk, before giving, you know, before speaking. Bismillah. And that particular act that the Basmala precedes is an act that becomes an act of worship, acceptable as worship. But that's not what we want to speak about today. We just mentioned that as a consequence of the term in association with Rahman. The term Rahman is the term that we know is associated with Allah's mercy to all creation, whether you believe or not. No matter what language you speak or where you come from, you know Allah's Rahman is indeed present. Wherever you look, you see Allah's Rahman. Wherever you look, what you have, what you don't have, what has passed you by, what has affected you. We see Allah's Rahmah. As Muslims, we know that Rahmah for the believer is different than what people might think in terms of what mercy is. A general idea behind this terminology of mercy, we find that they say the act of excusing someone from punishment, they say that that's considered, defined as mercy. But in Islam, mercy comes as a result of our dealings in every aspect. Ala kulli hal. Our rahmah ala kulli hal. Mercy in all our dealings. The Prophet ﷺ described it in وَمَا أَسَلْنَكَ إِلَى رَحْمَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That we did not send you any other than being or any other purpose than to be a mercy to the worlds. The mercy to the worlds. لِرَحْمَةً Rahmatan lil alameen. This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who we follow, who is our example in life for the religion. So Rahman, in that sense, is a little more than just pardoning someone, excusing someone, but mercy in our speech, mercy in our dealings, fairness, not putting hardship on one another. During the month of Ramadan, this is what we exemplify. This is these are the things that we were able to see. Instead of holding, you know, long, drawn-out discussions on matters that have nothing to do with anything, we had some mercy on one another, and we began just talking about Quran. And then when we talked about Quran, we didn't speak about it in a way that would make it hard on anyone. Rahman. Not based on what people, you know, just because you know a little more, I don't want you to feel like you don't know nothing. So what we do is we speak with mercy in our hearts and mercy in our speech. But when we're dealing with one another, we see our leaders, we don't have mercy on them, so we let them wonder how they're going to pay their phone bill and how they're going to pay their card note, but yet they want the leaders there for every single thing. We want to make sure that they're there for the janazah, make sure they're there for the nikah, make sure they're there for the walima, make sure they're there for the pita. Make sure they're there to write the letter for their job. But the leader still can't find a way to get from point A to point B because the community is not having his mercy on him. Because they want him to do everything, but yet they don't want to give or help him, make it easy on him.
but this is part of that mercy. In our association, Rahman is one of the outstanding features of the believer. They said this is one of the most effective dawah techniques, the mercy of the Muslims. But we see that Rahman here in the sense, in every word, Rahman, we find that even in war, the Prophet Islam encouraged the believers to have Rahman. So don't hit anybody innocent. Don't kill any people unarmed. Don't kill the elderly. Don't kill the women. Don't tear down trees. Don't burn their farms. You know, don't kill their livestock. Don't poison their water. Rahmas. Yes. Unlike what we see today in this society and even abroad, we see a bloodthirsty, unforgiving, unrelenting kill monster. No mercy at all. The hadith says if you want Allah to show you mercy, to have mercy on the people on earth, so that the one above the heavens will have mercy on you. Rahmah. So we talk in terms of this month of Ramadan being a month in which we, even in the height of all the stuff going on, we're still able to see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. Many of us had no problem getting to the masjid, but we didn't go to the masjid. None of us were being shelled or being forced out of our homes, persecuted. And we didn't make it to the masjid. We didn't have any hardship getting there, but we didn't make it. Some of us saw what was going on there and made sure that they made every effort to get to the masjid because they had no excuse. Because they thought about themselves and said, I have no excuse not to be in the masjid for Ramadan, getting the barakah, doing sadaqah, saying good, and forbidding evil, and things of that nature. The point I'm making here is that we talked about Rahman as an outstanding feature of the believer, unlike the concept of mercy dealing with other people. But the Islamic concept of mercy is one that embodies every aspect of human sensitivity. Mercy for us doesn't change because you don't agree with me. Mercy for us doesn't change because you don't like me. Mercy for us doesn't change because you don't speak my language. You ain't from where I'm from. Mercy doesn't change for the believer because you're my enemy. We're instructed even to have mercy on the people who are opposing us. So, my beloved brother, I want to thank you for this. And say on this last Sunday of the Shahru Ramadan, we want to say to you and all the listeners, thank you all. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes his blessings on you, your families, and he reconciles the needs of everyone that we love and those who we know and know from. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in his rahmah. To increase us in his rahmah and his application and its understanding and its contemplation. Let that be a prerequisite in our actions, in our speech. Let it be a prerequisite in our intention. Let it be a prerequisite in everything that we do. So we say praise be to Allah for that. Allahumma ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
And as always, thank you so much, Imam Abdulaziz, for these comments. Drawing our attention to the importance of
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, we were just saying to you, may Allah bless you with a wonderful Eid, Eid Mubarak to you.
Yes, sir.
No, some comments. I don't know if my comments. No, I think I accidentally had the phone on mute. Well, I'm not going to go over what I said, but basically I was just sharing that your comments were very as a way to keep that right in front of us. And Allah wants us to keep them in front of us. That's why we say Rahman and Rahim, you know, so many times a day, whenever we honor, whenever we're praying, we say that. So that's clear that Allah wants to have that right in front of us. So I pray that I'm doing that. And I pray that we are all working on being aware of that, you know, need for the Rahman in our life, in our relationship, and therefore, unless you have any further comments, we're going to look for the talk soon. Okay. I think that Imam Mahmoud Aziz has already moved on. So, dear brothers and sisters, so we have about 8 minutes before our next segment. And again, our next segment, we will be hearing from Abdullah Rasul, who will be actually bringing on and interviewing Imam Abid Hassan from the Jersey City area. And he'll be talking to us about a recent acquisition of some property and some land that the community has made. So we're very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were in Muslim Journal, and we did read the front page. We did talk about, rather, what was on the front page. There's a whole article that goes along with that. And inshallah, we'll have a few minutes here just to share that article. And for those of you who have your Muslim Journal with you, the article is on page 6. And it's same title, Another Trail of Tears, Gaza Ablaze, Not Even Children Can Be Saved. And there is a quote from Gandhi underneath that title for the article. And the quote is, may Allah be pleased with Gandhi and grant him a high place in the paradise. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. And then the article proceeds. And the article is written by Layla Diab and Aisha K. Mustafa. Mm-hmm. And let's see how much of this we can share before we go into our next segment. And the phone number here is 646-716-4478, folks, if you should have any comments or questions that you might want to share. And the article begins, the Israeli military government is unrelenting yet in another of its ethnic cleansing moves, utilizing bombings and promiscuous destruction of Gaza. After 2 weeks of bombings and now an all-out land invasion, peace promises are broken dreams, nightmares of defenseless, after 2 weeks of bombings, now an all-out land invasion, peace promises are broken dreams. Nightmares, a defenseless population. Nightmares, a defenseless population. Hamas fires off rounds of artillery, knowing it will be struck down by Israel's massive anti-artillery doom system. Hamas knows Israel is armed to the teeth and backed by other superpowers, keeping it impenetrable to its posturing with rocks and stones. This time, the first sign of trouble to come was the finding of 3 Israeli youth killed, their deaths attributed to Hamas, who had not and did not claim responsibility for them. No trial held to bring culprits to justice for these murders. No evidence of how these youths got to their place of death in the first place was ever revealed. Yet the death of these 3 Israeli youth seemed to be the impetus for what is now an all-out war on Palestine. To say it was a war on Hamas is a flimsy veil for what is a war on Palestinians. While there are rhetorical claims that every effort is made to spare innocent lives and civilian deaths are simply Hamas's fault, it is no other outcome for such onslaught on the mighty Israeli boot on the backs and necks and heads of the Palestinian people. Anyone who criticizes Israel is met with charges of anti-Semitism and therefore not worthy of acknowledgement. While Israel claims it wants Palestinians to run away from their homes before an attack, reporters on the ground in Gaza ask, where are they going to run to? Israel's border is closed to them. Egypt's border is closed to them. What is left is the open sea with no ships waiting to lift them to safety. 3 Israeli youth killed by whom? A Palestinian youth burned alive by whom? Another Palestinian-American youth beaten mercilessly and caught on tape, Rodney King style. Yet all the retort is that Israel has a right to protect itself. Therein lies the issue. Israel has all the rights and Palestinians have no rights. Fertile ground for despair to turn to act in out irrational behavior. Palestinian youth throwing rocks against Israeli heavy artillery. I didn't read that right. Let me read this again. Therein lies the issue. Israel has all the rights and Palestinians have no right. Fertile ground for despair to turn to acting out irrational behavior. Palestinian youth throwing rocks against Israeli heavy artillery. Since July 10, 2014, the Israeli military government's extensive bombing attacks on the entire population, over 1 million Gaza civilians, the world leaders continue to remain distinctly silent without any severe condemnation of the Israeli government's military dominance of heavy weaponry attacks or the mounting atrocious human loss consequences. While there are still alive Palestinians who own their land and held their deed when Israel was established on top of them, the world expects Palestinians to just pack up, move out, and shut up. A look at the map of green and what remains of Palestinian land, the same controlled by Palestinians, again, as Hamas called the ceasefire a joke. By the way, how was a ceasefire drawn up without the warring parties? Hamas not at all at the table. Egypt now an operative of Israel that blockades Palestinians from acquiring even basic necessities of daily life. However, all is not completely lost because there have been hundreds upon hundreds of protest marches and demonstrations with many voices heard beyond the roar of Israeli bombings. Christians, Jews, Muslims, and others all over the world see the atrocities and heavy-handed brutality of the approaching Israeli army, and they have filled the streets in Allah alleys, carrying signs that express their support for Gaza's suffering people, suffering the day before the bombing started and expected to suffer long after Israel pulls out. Still, the humanity also requires that an urgent call to save Gaza and its children be heard. All across the United States of America, Canada, in Europe, in Malaysia, South America and South Africa, people continue to show their support to save Gaza. They are pouring out in Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, San Francisco, San Diego, Houston. They keep up the human support to save Gaza through social media. The atrocities are televised as they're happening. People of conscience in the world community have always supported the Palestinians' cause for freedom and the end to a brutal occupation. People of conscience in the world community have always supported the Palestinians' cause for freedom and the end to a brutal occupation force in now occupied Palestine. The cycle of violence in recent years shows Gaza citizens attacked and assaulted by the Israeli military government in 2009, 2011, and now again in 2014, without any humanistic logic. Palestinians of Gaza are refugees in their own land, with homes demolished, no electricity, unsafe water, laced with sewage, and many times no water, extremely scarce food and medical supplies, medical buildings that have been demolished that care for dialysis patients and the disabled, the mentally weak and the wounded, but then met with, you make us treat you like this, the words of the abusive husband to his battered wife. With nowhere to run from, deadly attacks, and nowhere to hide, the Israeli siege of the Gaza population defies any universal law, a violation of the United Nations Universal Declarations of Human Rights laws. Such pre-existing human deprivation was already a crime against humanity in this undeclared, everyday war against Gaza's mothers, children, and the Constitution, the law of family rights. According to UN Article 7, all are equal before the law and are entitled without discrimination to equal protection against discrimination, violation of the UN Declaration, and any incitement to such discrimination. Brothers and sisters, for those of you who may just tuned in, we are reading from the Muslim Journal, and it is regarding what we've heard, Another Trail of Tears. The title of the article is Another Trail of Tears, and it is regarding what is going on in the with the Palestinian people and Israeli military and government, what's happening there. One of the things that comes to my mind is the saying of Martin Luther King, a lot less of the high place in the paradise, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I know, you know, we're over here and we're dealing with so much over here. And I know it's probably very easy for us to maybe think, well, there's nothing as sad as this is. There's nothing I can do about it. But no, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that that we can pray on it. He said that if you see an injustice, and you should try to change it first. If you can't, then you should speak on it. And if you can't do that, then at least in your heart, and that's the prayer. If you have it in your heart, that's prayer. You're praying for it, praying for it to change. So whatever we can do, we're not left helpless. That hadith tells us that we're never helpless. A prayer is also something that we can do. So we can pray, at least. And as Nazim was saying when he was on, we can do our best to make sure that we learn from this lesson, this atrocity, what human beings are inflicting on other human beings, that we learn from that and do our best to make sure there's no even fraction of that idea in our life. Brothers and sisters, we're now going to go into our next segment, which is Faith and Industry. It's 11:32. We're going to go into our next segment. And I see both our guests. I believe this is Imam Abid Hassan's number, and I also see Abdullah Rasul in. So we're going to bring Abdullah Rasul in and then bring in Imam Abid Hassan to take us into the next segment, which is Faith and Industry. And let us do that, bring them in with the greetings. Who's up there with the number? I saw it a minute ago. Okay, there it is. Okay. Let me bring him into the queue. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. How are you doing today, Abdullah?
Oh, pretty good, Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much.
Oh, pretty good. Alhamdulillah, pretty good. We're looking forward to this this interview with Imam Abid Hassan.
Yeah, very much so. I am very excited. I even combed my beard this morning. I'm very excited.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm hoping it's not the only time you comb it. I'm only messing with you. Yes, indeed. And Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to add to it, but it's not necessary. Go ahead.
Okay. So, before we bring Imam Adib in, what do we have in store? What's the matter at hand?
The matter at hand is this recent property that was purchased by our community, members in our community, to accommodate the thrust that we are striving to reach. The destiny that we are striving to, of the thrust that we are striving to attain and the destiny that we are striving to reach. And I got wind of it on Friday, so I just couldn't contain myself sharing it with you. And obviously we wound up here, you know, bringing Imam Abid on, who I'm quite sure is thorough in the explanation, the presentation of what we have, what is in store for the community.
Yes, indeed.
In terms of the facility, huh?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of the facility that's been purchased to accommodate, you know, where we're headed as a community. On the email, what's the name of it?
Yes, sir. And as we bring him, ma'am, a bit on, can you just introduce him for folks who are not familiar with him?
Oh, yes. Imam Abid, very, very tremendous individual. I happen to be a member of that masjid of which he presides over as Imam. We're working to bring about some new developments in Jersey City under his leadership. And as you see, he's a very strong instrument in the community at large. For him to come back or have made a trip of this magnitude and is able to share depth, the fullness of this event, speaks to the kind of individual this is and why they would have him. So I guess I could say this event itself and him being a part of it pretty much speaks for the caliber of the individual.
Yes, sir. And let us, without any further ado, bring the Imam Abid on with the greetings. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
As-salamu alaykum.
How are you doing today?
Good, alhamdulillah. I just want to say that I was kind of hesitant because I was trying to figure out who was Rasul introducing. You know, all those accolades, you know, I had to be somebody else, you know.
That's our brother. That's Rasul, our brother. He's very, 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 very beneficent. He's very beneficent.
Alhamdulillah.
We're looking forward to hearing from this is something that I'm sure the community believers are really interested in.
Yes.
We know this is something that our dear beloved Imam has been urging us to, urging us on towards. So praise be to Allah, this is something that we're actually realizing now.
Praise be to Allah. In fact, it's monumental in regards to the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Those of us who've been around for a while know that most of the property, when it comes to Elijahville, Sedalia, all those properties where we could have realized the kind of things that the Imam was talking about, was purchased under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Nothing of this magnitude has been purchased under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, in other words, I can see the Imam smiling on us in regards to this particular purchase. You know, I've gotten wind that they purchased some property in Philadelphia. That's a situation, but I haven't had opportunity to go down there and see to witness it myself. But I've heard that's a pretty decent purchase. But we're talking about 25 acres, four schools in one. It used to be a charter school, gymnasium, full gymnasium, 1,200 to 1,500 seating auditorium. Stage where you can have the orchestra go under the stage and play while the play is going on or the singing is going on. You don't even see the band. I'm talking something that the Imam would be smiling about. And every time I talk about it, I get fired up about it, man, because it took us about 2 hours to take a tour of the entire place and still didn't see everything. Still didn't see the football field. Still didn't see the baseball diamond. Still didn't see the track and field nor the tennis. This is what we're talking about. So we're talking about something of some significance here that definitely puts our community on the map as it relates to having a school, having a place where we can have conventions, having a place where we can have banquets, you name it, you know, shows, plays, you know, plays of our own, you know, some regarding us. And it's in a town called Inkster, Michigan. I don't know if any – I've never heard of Inkster until this purchase. I don't know if anybody on the line ever heard of Inkster, Michigan. And this town was established by Ford when the African Americans that worked for him, they couldn't walk through Dearborn. This is how far back we're going. They didn't allow African Americans to walk through Dearborn. So what Ford did is that he established a particular area where the people who worked for him lived in that area. And this is the town of Inkster, which was established or became a township in 1964. So it has a lot of significance as it relates to us as African Americans, or should I say African Americans. And this is definitely a situation that's waiting for us. let me put it that they're waiting for us, and the people in the town received us, and is looking forward to working with us.
Alhamdulillah. Is this near? I know when you say Dearborn, first thing that comes to my mind, I know Dearborn is Michigan. Michigan. There's so many Muslims, large population of Muslims there. So this is near Dearborn, is it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's just a little outside of Dearborn. Yes, sir. And a little bit outside of the Detroit area, you know, the Detroit city.
Come to the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Abdullah told me about this, when he was sharing with me what was going on, I said, wow, this is beautiful. I had heard, some months ago, I had heard about it, but I didn't hear about it to this magnitude. And the other thing, too, what stage are we at? Do we own this, or are we in the where are we at? Do we actually own this property?
Yes, sir. We own it. We own the property. It's our property. All we got to do is make sure, as most things we get and we purchase, we got to keep the notes up. we have big plans. And I have to commend the leadership who've been in the forefront, and that's Imam Pasha. He's been in the forefront of this thing, and the kind of vision he has is outstanding, for the lack of a better term. It's outstanding. You know, he has vision. He has the kind of leadership and the courage that takes to purchase something like this, because this is not without some work. Now, this is going to take some work. However, what we've done is that we've been working on getting the building ready for the convention. We're having the convention there for the Labor Day weekend.
Alhamdulillah.
Which is from the 29th. It's going to start on the 29th and end on the 31st, I think, or the 1st. The 1st is Labor Day.
Alhamdulillah, brother.
We'd be ready for the convention, but, you know, we still have a lot of work to do as relates as time goes on, but the main areas for the convention will be ready, inshallah. You know, we have classrooms. We have, like I said, a 1,200 to 1,500 seating auditorium. You know, could you imagine the kind of plays we could put on in there? You know, the kind of shows, the movies we could show in there. You know, you know, you can have dinner and a movie and a dinner, a show, a play and a dinner. There's a lot of prospect there.
Yes, a movie and some land.
Work. Did you mean physical work in terms of renovation, stuff like that?
Yes, sir. In that regard,
on the property, and yes. How I know just about in terms of ratio percentage, would you say the amount of renovation is needed on the property, just from your statement's point of view?
Off the top of my head, I would say about 50%. 50%.
About 50%.
Yeah. The complex has been out of use for 2 years. However, let me just go back a minute. We have been going to Cobalt Hall for some years. For the last 4 years, we've been going to Cobalt Hall. However, this year we got notice saying that they cannot accept us because ISNA is going to be using Cobalt Hall this year. So we have to commend and thank ISNA for their initiative, or the igniting us, I should say, to go to look for something on our own, because Imam Muhammad said that we should use Cobalt Hall until at such time we get our own property. So this kind of pushed us out there to get our own property. And what happened is that we were able to get our own property, which is a blessing, because now we don't have to worry about paying Cobalt Hall. We can pay ourselves. We don't have to worry about leaving at 3 o'clock. We can leave when we want to leave. It's our property.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We thank ISNA.
Yeah, and that's within, that's in line with the spirit, the womb of us, and that was, and Elijah Muhammad said, he said, when the black man fires you, he said, you go to him with your hand in your hand, you shake his hand, you tell him thank you, you go start your own.
Alhamdulillah.
So brought us back to that spirit, alhamdulillah.
Yourself, yes.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Yes, indeed. You know, and I pray that let me just say what's on my heart. You know, we know that there's some differences in our community, but I pray that we can put those differences down, you know, for something as important as this.
Yeah.
I pray that we can just come together. You know, we're learning Quran now, where we are more in the life of Islam than we have been before because of that. We're learning the Quran, we've learned the life of the Prophet, and if we could apply that and come together with something that is important as this and put down whatever little, because they are little, might have pissed they would be little, whatever differences we have, you know, this would really be very beautiful, very, very beautiful. Abdullah and Imam Abdib, we have a caller in. Is this a good time to bring him into the picture?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, let me bring in our brother from St. Louis, Green.
Walaikum
assalam. Walaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak. I'm a Kareem Hamid from St. Louis, Missouri. If we take note, remember the Imam spent a lot of time in the latter part of his life in Detroit. And I believe he had a conversation with Imam Pasha, and he was requesting that, inshallah, that this is where it all began. And inshallah, we pray that we can hold our conventions here, shore up where we started from. And the Imam Pasha promised him that he would make that effort. I lived in Detroit 11 years. Angster is a very very strong African American community. It has a history there. And I'm grateful to Allah for blessing our Imam with his leadership and blessing him with people like Imam Pasha that could see a project and others, because no Imam really establishes nothing. It takes the Imam and the support of the people. And we are grateful to the Ummah in Detroit. They could really use this economic shot in the arm. We know Detroit is suffering economically. I pray Allah that we come together and from a historical perspective, give 100% support to the womb that bore us. The womb that bore us. It started there. So I'll close with that, and I'm so grateful to you. I was aware that this effort was underway, and it is almost at its completion, and I'm grateful to Allah in these last days of Ramadan to hear this, and I thank you, and assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I just want to say this. These are the kind of trials, if you will, to see whether we put our to the side and go realize that the vision is bigger than any one person, that our egos are necessary in some instances, and it's necessary to put them down in other instances. So this is a test for us. This is a real test. Do we keep the vision going as the imam instructed us, or do we keep our egos in play, or our own agenda into play? What is more important for us as relates to a community who ascribe and support and who've been a part of the Imam W.D. Muhammad's logic and his tafsir? So do we sit on the side and watch things happen, or sit on the side and wonder what happened? Or are we those kind of people who make things happen? You got to decide, you know. And this is the deciding point. Earlier was mentioned in terms of us coming together. Sometimes I think that, again, these are the kind of trials that bring us together, even though we want to be apart, because some of us want to be apart. That's the reality of it. And the Quran tells us, it says, strive as in a race towards all that is good. Strive in a race, even if we differ. If you're doing something good, good. Somebody else doing something good. But let's produce the yams, let's produce the pudding. Let's see who produces the pudding. But let us strive as in a race towards all that is good, not in a competition that is combative and detrimental. But let us, you know, if they don't, the people think they can do better, they purchase more property. You know, this way we can really get a good competition going.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed, brother. I agree. Alhamdulillah. We have another caller. I think Nazim is, I'm not sure if this is a layover from the last time he called in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
You know, I just wanted to echo the sentiments. I didn't get the Imam's name. I wanted to get his name also. But this is the kind of success that really should resonate in the souls of us as a people. I mean, like the Imam just said, it shouldn't be about who's doing it, because even if they were trying to do it independently, they can't, because we're all human beings. We all identify with Imam Muhammad. And any effort that's doing that in the spirit that he wanted it done, we should all identify with it, and we should rejoice in it, because we now have a model that we can emulate and adapt to whatever situation that we're in. Because whatever y'all are doing in Michigan, we can do in North Carolina. We can't do it like y'all doing it in Michigan, because we're not Michigan. We have to do it the North Carolina way. But the mere fact that it's been done gives us permission to do it. So, I mean, I'm excited too. I'm happy for the good news, and it's good news for the community of Easter and the community of Muslims, and I pray Allah that it be successful, and it be a shining gem, and it be a new Medina-like effort there in Easter, because it's definitely needed, because we keep talking about what people aren't letting us do, but when we decide to do, nobody can stop us. And like the Imam said, which will be my closing remarks, we cannot stop now.
Allahu Akbar. The light is on.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother Nazim. And let me just ask one question, too. We're in the final 8 minutes. What is the projected goal? I mean, what do we want to see from this acquisition of land and property?
Well, we want to see a full-time, chartered school, and a situation where we have, as I mentioned earlier, our own plays, our own shows, our own dinners. And convention, you know. In other words, if somebody is interested in having a convention, they can rent from us. Instead of going to Cobo Hall, they can rent from us. they have seminars, they can rent the auditorium. They have seminars, they can rent the classroom. They can, you know, in other words, we can be in on those things where we can have some influence, some real impact on the society as a whole.
Yes, indeed. Alhamdulillah.
I just want to mention this real quick. The beauty in it, when you start with a pre-K school, you always have students all the way to the 12th grade. You got ready students. They graduate from pre-K to kindergarten, from kindergarten to first grade, so forth and so on. Man, you have students, man. So you know, it's really a blessing to have this situation where we can start at the very beginning. And it kind of, as the brother mentioned earlier, about going back to the beginning when we used to have the University of Islam, that was a serious set, man. You know, when you think about that, how we had the junior FOI, we had, in other words, we had influence over our lives from the beginning to the end.
Yes, indeed. This is beautiful. This is very beautiful. And this is what we wanted. You know, this is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been, this is what we've been hearing in our khutbahs. This is what we've been hearing from our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is such a wonderful opportunity and for us to rise to the occasion. And I believe we will. You know, I believe we will do that. How is this thing promoted? I haven't read about it in the Muslim Journal yet. Maybe I missed it, but how is this being promoted? How is the community being made aware of this?
You know, by shows like this, from the rostrum, the flyers that's out regarding the convention, the website, DNA, Muslim Annual Convention. You can go to the website and see the different things that's going on in that regard.
Okay. Well, hopefully, inshallah, soon we'll see it in the Muslim Journal, too.
Yes,
that is certainly our number one media, Muslim media. This is so beautiful. Wow, this must have has this been an individual? I know we're saying this is ours, but has this been an individual acquisition? I mean, has one person come up with money for this, or has this been a group of people?
There's been a group of people, that's part of that organizes the convention. For the last 4 years, we've been going to Cobalt Hall, and so we had to find some property of our own. So we're the spearheads of it, but it belongs to the Muslim. It belongs to the Muslim community. It's just that those who are responsible in purchasing are the spearheads. And as I mentioned earlier, Imam Pasha is the point person. He's in the forefront.
Alhamdulillah. This is beautiful. And I know Abdullah had asked you a question about the that there's work needed. Is there any kind of time frame or when we we're going to get started with the work, or has anyone been identified that is going to be heading these projects?
We've already started the work. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're working on, first we're trying to get the area together that where the convention is going to be at. We're going to have the convention. Then we'll go to the next area, which would be the school area in terms of the pre-K and things like that. But pretty much there's certain areas that only need a little bit of work, and then there's areas that need a lot of work. Those that need a lot of work, we'll put off until later. But those that need a little bit of work, we'll just do them up, like painting, just kind of cleaning up, organizing, that kind of thing.
This is beautiful. This is very wonderful. We're running into the end of the show. We really have to, inshallah, have you back, probably yourself or others representing this effort, that are involved in this effort, maybe periodically, just to keep us up to date on, how things are going and also what we can do. I mean, obviously, financial contributions, I'm sure, would be helpful, and
or even some sweat equity.
And even, yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Yeah, it was so beautiful. Allah bless us. That's gonna. I'm gonna make sure I include this in my duas from now on.
Yes, sir.
That we ask Allah to bless us to be successful with this. And as Nazim was saying, if we, inshallah, succeed with this. This would be such a shining light for it to be reproduced in other places.
Yes.
This will be that first shining light, or one of the first, because we also have New Medina as a light as well.
Yes, sir.
So this is beautiful. This is very beautiful. Abdullah, did you have any final comments or anything that you wanted to say before we close out?
I have two, but I'm going to narrow it to one. Can the believers view this property online anywhere?
Yes, sir. If they can go online to DNA Muslim Convention, and that website should give them all the details. And we have some pictures also of the property.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Imam, you said, what was the website again?
Is DNA Muslim Convention.
And that's D as in Dawah?
Yeah, Dawah, yes, sir.
Okay. D-N as in?
D-N.
D-N as in Nancy. A.
Yes.
Muslim Convention.
Right. It's for the annual Detroit Convention. What is it? Detroit National Annual Convention.
Okay, and that's .com?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. Okay, we are at the top of the show. Brother Ma'am, Brother Abdullah, and listeners. So, as I said a little earlier, this studio is not responding to is not responding. It's normal. So, I want to make sure we close out properly. So, we went online. My wife just went online. This is beautiful already. Alhamdulillah. This is beautiful. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is beautiful. DNAMuslimConvention.com. Inshallah, this will be in our du'as, and we will be successful. Let me close out with a du'a. Rabbana atina fidunya hasanatan wa fakira fi hasanatan wa kina dabana. Allah bless us with the excellence of this life, the excellence of the next life, and save us from the torment of the fire. Ameen. Thank you so much,
okay.
All of you participated, Brother Imam and all the others, and those of you who called in with questions and comments, inshallah. Next week, same time, same place. May Allah bless us with these final hours of Ramadan, and also Eid Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Eid Mubarak.
Hey. And my final words to you and the radio audience. Don't just remember that I was appealing to you all who still want to do something with your lives. You still have moral sense. You have some moral sense. And you still respect human intelligence. So I made a strong appeal to you to live not just for yourself, but live for others who need you. Live as a human being. Care about all human beings on this planet. Care about human life. And don't waste too much time. Don't spend all day long trying to help somebody that's insisting upon going to the trash can. Don't you go to the trash can with them. And I pray God always be with us. And if we live the good life and live it as we should, that would be the best help that we can give those who don't care. That's the best help we can give them. Thank you, and peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.